Number 14B.
You can easily follow me if you are thinking in your terms of the capitalized terms, starting out with mind. So mind has created the Son of God. Okay, what does it mean? I know mind as the divine will. So I know the divine mind has willed me into being. There is a divine mind that wanted me to come into being. I know that divine mind not only as that which creates and wills me into being, but also wanted me, that the desire of mind is always that the mind desired me to come into being. Think of the wonderful sense you get, it gets quite warm within oneself to think it is that divine mind, that God, that really desired that I come into being, that I come into consciousness. Therefore, I can see that divine mind wanted me, it desired me. It therefore had all the power to manifest itself as the full manifestation of that mind, as ideas of mind. And I begin to see that divine mind that desired me and willed me and brought me into being through the creative activity and power of that mind is bringing about a Son of God that is an idea of God, that is not a material concept of man, that is not a corporeal concept of man, but the spiritual idea of man. I see even something more, that only that mind knows me. The Bible has given us a clue. He said, and all that believed on him, to him he gave the power to become the Son of Man. What does it mean that those that believed on him? I can see that only if I have that mind which is God and no other mind but that mind within me, that is the mind of God, therefore the Christ mind, that only with that Christ mind can I actually give birth to my sonhood within me. I can see only that Christ mind going out from mind as mind is really seeing the form of the Son of God, is really perceiving, that's all mind, is really perceiving and knowing the form of the Son of God. My sonship, my sonhood, or to be the Son of God. Or you go further and you see that only mind knows me the way I am. Mortal mind doesn't know me as I really am. Only the divine mind knows me. I do not know mind. Mind knows me. If I would know mind, then my knowing would have to be bigger than the divine mind. So I begin to see I have to drop all that stuff which thinks I have to think out what the Son of God is, and if I think sternly and sturdily and mightily and willfully about that mind, then I haven't got it. That I've used a mortal mind, a human mind, to call down the divine mind and bring out in me the Son of Man. No, no, no. I go out from the source. I see that I have no other mind but that mind which is God, and that mind which is God desired me. He wanted me to come into this being. Therefore, he had a certain purpose that he wants to bring out. So the whole intelligence of that divine mind is in action. And I feel I'm not just thrown to and fro in this world, but that I'm under the guidance and the leading of the divine intelligence that leads me step by step in the line of understanding. And so I get a very definite feeling that mind is at the helm, that mind is guiding, leading me, that is showing me the way, is perceiving the way, is outlining the way. All that is mind. But I can make those measures even finer, because the textbook has shown to us that mind is a synonymous term for God, which means that mind is synonymous with spirit, and is synonymous with soul, and with principle, and with life, and truth, and love. So that mind is only then mind when it reflects also spirit. And it reflects also soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So, in my contemplation of what the creative mind really wanted to bring out as the Son of Man, I can further elaborate on it through a finer mesh by seeing that mind reflects spirit. And so I get the sense, well, spirit brought me forth. Spirit was giving birth to me. Not my mother was giving birth to me. I am never under the impact of a material birth. I have never a defect of material birth or prenatal living. I have always been in the bosom of my father, and therefore well kept, well attended to, and nothing wrong has been done in bringing forth my sonship, my sonhood. And so I go to spirit and see that mind is spirit, and that spirit gave birth to me. I don't have to give birth to myself. I have to let spirit bring me forth. And spirit is always that which brings forth a great evolution. Spirit develops, spirit unfolds, spirit evolves in the line of the order of spirit. So that I begin to feel that creative ability of mind is constantly acting as spirit, as an ordered development of my sonhood, as the Son of God. That no other power of mind but spiritual power is at work to see that I'm constantly held within the order of spirit, so that I don't deviate from the order of spirit. That's the purity of spirit, so that the purity of spirit is constantly at work, always shielding me off from any temptation, from any other influence, from outside influence, so that the order of spirit is straight and narrow, it's pure, it isn't mixed up with anything else, it isn't mixed up with a material birth, it isn't mixed up with a material development. It's the spiritual idea, the order of idea that will hold me back to diverge from that order, from that line of spirit. Isn't that a wonderful feeling one gets? And then we can go on to soul and say, well, that spirit is always synonymous with soul. They are synonymous, they blend. I can never have mind and spirit without soul, because every synonymous term reflects every other synonymous term. So I begin to feel, well, soul is therefore that gives to my birth identity, whatever that identity is. But soul will see that identity, which is my unique identity, is being brought out. That identity is crystallizing itself so that it is definite, so that it's not vague, so that it is not a wandering in the wilderness. Soul is not wandering in the wilderness. Soul makes a straight line right through the wilderness, and you go through it on a highway with a Mercedes or with a Pontiac, and you right through it. Because it's so definite that soul doesn't waver. Soul doesn't waver. Soul is constant. Soul is unchangeable. Doesn't waver. It doesn't go to the right and to the left and to the right and to the left. It goes straight on. It is a straight shooter. Soul says, I have put my aim, and that is it, and that is going to be fulfilled. Or you see that soul is blending with principle. I still go back to the mind, the creative mind, that brings forth, brings me forth through the birth of spirit, gives me the identity, the definite identity, the definite message to me, the definite purpose of my life, mission. Thank you. I've said it 1,000 times this week, and then it doesn't come into my mind. You see, it gives me a definite mission, a unique mission that has no competitor, that has no equal, quite unique, individualized, so that that soul is also blending with principle, or else it would not be soul. So that mind, which has that definite aim, is working as a divine principle, is operating as a ever operative power that is operating so that everything in the universe is brought together to the one point where it is needed. It attracts all those ideas that are needed for bringing out this purpose in my life, my mission in my life. It doesn't attract that which is not needed. If I need bread, it doesn't give me stone, and if I need stone, it doesn't give me bread. It is always specified to the need. So I begin to see that a universal principle is at work, and that principle is also life, because life is another synonymous term. So I begin to see that that which is the parent mind desiring to bring forth my true identity, so that my true identity is operating universally, is of the nature of life. That it brings about the adventure of life, that it brings about the mutations of life, that that's so important, that it brings about really the possibility of a paradigm shift in my life. I need that life as a paradigm shift so that I don't stand still. If it doesn't bring the multiplication of life, the spontaneity of life, the impulsion of life, the paradigm shift of life, I stand still. And that's no more life. That's death already. So what is that which enables being that my life is ready and constantly aware and willing to undergo a mutation, to undergo a paradigm shift? Most people don't undergo a paradigm shift. They stay where they are, like to stay where they are, and things were all right as they are, so let's stay where we are. For heaven's sakes, don't change anything. That's the death of as the counterfeit of our mission. I so touchingly, nearly feel that my life is a constant process, that is a constant process not only of going on, but a process of undergoing a constant paradigm shift, so that it is a consciousness that is open when a new idea is trying to break through, that I'm aware of it, that I sense it, that I have the inspiration of life, that I have the intuition of life to sense what the new idea wants to bring out, that I sense that something new is breaking through, that I'm not dumb about it, that I'm not blind about it. This is just mind and life. Still seeing that mind as the creator wants to bring out really the Son of God in me, right through that word order. Now, that life that brings constantly the adventure of life, the surprises of life, constantly, is also of the nature of truth, which gives me that assurance that though these changes are going on, I'm still I have still dominion over the situation, that I'm not falling out of my balance, that I still have dominion over the situation, because mind as truth shows that mind as truth gives you dominion over all the changes. The science of changes cannot bring you out of balance, so that I feel that I can never fall in my manhood. There is no fallen man, that truth is intact, that truth is that dominion, that has dominion over everything, over the whole world, over the whole world of change. Not over the whole world of a static world, but that it has dominion over the world of changes, over the world of constant mutations. And that, so that truth adapts itself, as we have seen, as I say, the wonder is that truth always makes new laws, always brings forth new laws in order to adapt itself to a new situation. I don't need to have the old laws. The old laws are no good for a new situation. We cannot solve a new situation with the method of yesterday. We can only solve a new situation with the method of today or of tomorrow. The more we know the tomorrow, the better we can handle the today. Because actually begin to see always more and more that this creation tends toward love, because mind is love, because mind has within itself the drive for fulfillment. It has the creative drive, the creative impulsion towards fulfillment, towards consummation of what mind has desired as its creative ability. And so we can feel that love that stands really there waiting for us, drawing, so to say, us to that point of final consummation of the whole plan that is presented to us. I know that when that point comes, we know that then we will be kicked up to another level and start all over again from mind, because love always joins mind, because love is also mind. So a higher level of creativity will start out again, so that we are spiraling up and up and up. So we are not coming to an end, which is love, which is final, though we sometimes use that term teleological, which means a final aim, or a telefinalistic, final, an aim that is far off but final. That doesn't exist. It's just in the course of the way of life that we have some kind of aim. But when we arrive there, and we see that so often, that love takes us right back to mind and says, now you see mind from quite a different standpoint. And all the creative ability starts all over again on a higher level. That's life. That's the Son of God. The Son of God is not something that stands there like a statue and doesn't move again, and it's beautiful to look at, and has a wonderful form and a wonderful color, and I don't know what. It's symmetrical. It's symmetrical, meaning that the symmetries are always asking for other symmetries. They are always breaking so that they are forming other symmetries. So its form is wholly symmetrical, Mrs. Eddy says. So in this way, you see, I can build in finer meshes into just that what the Bible said, God has created you, not your parents have created you. That is a large mesh. Can you see now how the Bible switches over to the textbook? That we need now the understanding and of the textbook, the categories of the textbook, in order to build in finer meshes. Now I have built in quite a fine mesh, but not the finest one. I still can go on to myself and say to myself, well, what I have been telling now is really fine, and I have to do that, and I go over it. I go over it quite often, you know, in order to establish within myself the sense that I'm the Son of God, that I'm not the son of my parents. It takes a lifelong activity to touch a little bit of that sense of the Son of God. But I have only entertained within my consciousness the world order, the world sense. I've gone from mind to love. But you can build in a finer mesh by saying, yes, but I haven't taken into consideration that world order may have also a Christ touch, that the world as a Christ is already something different, the Christ touch. So I can go again through that world order, not as the world standpoint, but as the Christ standpoint. What does it mean? It means the world, when seen from the Christ standpoint, it still is the world, but it shows the Christ activity of the world. The Christ activity of the world really is that it manifests itself, that it expresses itself. So I go again through that whole order of the world, but always bringing in within my consciousness that there is a Christ working in it. The Christ working in it, which means that I go through each synonymous term and see what is the expression of it. So I go back and we go over that word order together again and just listen. Now, this is a method. You see, what I want to give you here is a method that you can use at home in order to build up the Son of God from the standpoint of science and not from the standpoint of the Bible, because the Bible doesn't give enough detailed and meshes in that net. So I can see, yes, what happens within that word order which is bringing out the sonhood of my manhood. So I go to mind and see, yes, mind is the creator. Mind is really that which willed me into being. That's the word standpoint. Then the Christ standpoint comes in and says, and that mind is the divine message to me. That's the Christ. Can you hear that Christ? A message to me. Always when you have the expression of it towards men, not bringing out men, but only towards men. So I begin to see, and that mind is constantly at work to manifest that Christ manhood within me, to give me all the information, the message. Can you see, hear the Christ? The message. I don't know if you can feel the spirit, the sense of the Christ. It gives me all the information for bringing out that Son of God, for being led within that line of light, so that constantly the information flow to me. I always feel that mind is informing me with all the intelligence that is necessary, so that I don't lack the intelligence that is necessary to take up that idea, so that I feel I'm constantly under a whole waterfall of ideas coming to me as a message, as a Christ message, as ideas flowing into my consciousness. Then I can go to spirit and can see, yes, that spirit is not only giving birth to the Son of God, but also shows me the order that is necessary to go. It already averts me of being able that I can see what is right, what is wrong, where there would be a divergence of that order of life, so that I'm awake really to the birth of that idea. It always comes to me. I can see that that spirit is constantly coming to me, guiding me in that straight line of spirit, and making me aware, that's the Christ, and making me aware of it, what Christ wants to do, so that I'm not blind to it and walking blindly somewhere and losing my way and losing my order. So that gives me a very watchfulness. The watchman comes in of Zechariah that says in spirit, ah, you have to be a watchman. I give you the watchman that watches constantly over me, that I don't go to the right, not to the left, but stay on the line. Or a soul comes and says, well, what do I give to you? What is the Christ that soul gives? Says, and it will bless you on every step of your way. You have a mission that is identified through the word, but the Christ will bless it. Will bless your way, will bless your mission, will just give you joy on that way, and therefore you will have all the joy and the satisfaction of soul, the beauty of life in it, so the beauty of your mission in it, that you see the beauty of mission. Can you hear the Christ? Always when it comes to us, huh? It's the Christ. So that we are not at that attitude where we feel, yes, the word is going on and I believe in the word and the word is really God and I believe that there is a God, but I'm away from it. Away from it is not Emmanuel, therefore not accepting that there is a constant influence coming to me and bringing out in me that coincidence with God. Or we begin to see at the tone of principle then, that I see, yes, principle is constantly operating and shows me really the signs necessary so that I can go on my way of life, that I can go on harmoniously in my mission, so that I don't have to fall over and over again until I finally am aware what I should do. But the principle comes to me as a message and shows me the signs of it. It shows me the system of it. It shows me all the scientific tools that are necessary. It shows it to me. It doesn't keep it back in principle and says, well, principle has those tools. No, the principle has also Christ, and therefore gives me a sense, I get it. He gives it to me, and it's natural that he gives it to me. Or you come to life and you see, well, life is not only the constant newness of life, the constant adventure of life, the constant mutation of life, the constant spontaneity of life, but I can see the Christ in it, that newness of life constantly flows as a river from the well, that I feel it flows on me and it carries me along. I cannot go against the stream. Going against the stream is going against life. And so it comes to me as a stream, and I feel be really pushed by that stream, and I go with the stream, and so I feel that I'm on the right track, that I feel things do really happen because I feel I'm one with life. That's the Christ touch in it. Or truth, you can also take truth and see, yes, truth has dominion. It's really always that which has dominion, but also see that it has a Christ, that it translates itself to me and says, and I give you dominion too. I don't let you in the dark. I don't let you in the dark. I enlighten your consciousness constantly so that you see why you have dominion, so that you see what kind of dominion you should have. So I feel that constantly that truth which has dominion over everything comes to me as a divine consciousness. And so I feel that there is an influx of divine consciousness constantly coming into my consciousness, flooding my consciousness. Or you come to love and you see there at the point of love, of fulfillment, that is not just a point of fulfillment, not just the point that the plan of love is being worked out, but that I can see that the Christ is constantly at work, and the Christ is here showing of the mothering of me. That I see that plan is constantly mothering me, therefore comes to me as a divine message of love, saying, I welcome you, I protect you, I care for you, I support you, I maintain you, so that nothing happens to you. You can't fall. Isn't that the Christ touch, the divine message? Yes. Well, I always thought, yes, the hour is over, huh? All right.